Let me once again say good morning to everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to see all the faces that have made it out to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I'm hoping and trusting that I'll be able to say something in your hearing this morning that will be of great help and encouragement to each and every one as we walk with the Lord on this spiritual journey towards eternity. This morning we started the lesson understanding the nature of temptation. And one of the things that we pointed out was the fact that James gave us a caution in James chapter 1. And if you will turn your Bibles there with me, for we will see exactly what the caution is. And I'll try to go as slowly as I can this morning because this lesson is of great importance. James says in verse number 13, and he gave us three things of which we ought to be cautious. He says, number one, never say that God is responsible for my trials and my temptations. Never say that. Then he tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, and we went into that this morning. And the third thing that he says is not only that God cannot be tempted with evil, but he says God does not tempt anyone. As we continue looking at the nature of temptation, it is important, as I pointed out this morning, that we understand that we're talking about how temptation actually works, the ins and the out of temptation. And as we look at this lesson, we need to bear in mind how James begin, because James is going to help us to understand how it actually works. How is it that Satan is able to get us to do things that we really don't want to do? How is it that he calls us not to do things that we know we ought to do? James, help us to understand this. And first of all, as James begins, I want for us to note carefully how he begins. He begins with a universal approach that all are included and that no man is exempted. If you will just place your own eyeball in God's word and just look at how he begins as he helped us to understand the nature of temptation. Notice that he says in verse number 13, let no man. Do you see that in your Bible? Let no man. And in verse number 14, he says, but every man. It simply means that James is saying that no man is exempted. It does not matter where he's from. It does not matter who he is. It does not matter what his scholastic achievement in life may be. He may be the elder, he may be the deacon, he may be the preacher, he may just be one of the faithful men within the church or one of the faithful brothers within the church. You may be just an ordinary person within the church, but James wants you to understand that temptation comes to all of us the same way. And this is very important because we cannot and we must not ever plead that our situation is unique. And so James first gives us the universal approach by letting us know that all of us are involved in this struggle. He says, let no man, verse number 13, and verse 14 he says, but every man is tempted. Temptation comes to all of us the same way. We cannot say that our situation is unique. And as we look at this lesson, and you know, as I try to hasten on to finish within the time that was allotted to me, there are some things that I just got to step over. First of all, there are four steps that James gives us in the process of temptation that we must be aware of. There are four steps. If ever you want to know how it works, James wants you to understand this. First, he says, as we look at the four step, first, James says, if you will look at the word of God, in verse number 14, he says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. Do you see that in your Bible? The first step in the process of temptation is that James wants us to understand that it is our desires that is the problem. Every man is drawn away by his own lust. The word lust is not necessarily a bad word. The word lust is a good word. It is a normal word. That's the way that God made us. It is neither good nor bad. The desires is always inside of us. That's where and that's how the problem begins. Nobody make you do what you don't want to do. We like to blame people for causing us to act in ways that we ought not to act. But James says, you see, temptation comes to us and it begins with our desire. Everyone has desires arising from his or her own constitution. We all have desires that arise from our temper, our habits, and our way of life. And so James says, you know where the problem lies? The problem is not God. Don't blame God. He's not responsible. So if God is not responsible and if God is not to be blamed, then who is? James says, the problem lies within us. We are our worst enemy. And Satan knows that. And he's going to use our desires to cause us to do things that we ought not to do. And so James says, every man is drawn away, look at what he says, by his own desires. The sooner we are able to recognize and accept this fact, is the sooner we will be able to overcome temptation. Don't walk blaming people, blaming others for the things that we do. We need to take responsibility for our own action. Nobody makes you do what you don't want to do. You do what you want to do. It does not matter the situation that you find yourself in. You are responsible for your own action. Then that's the first thing that James wants us to see in this four-step approach in understanding temptation. The first is our own desires. The second step that James wants us to see is the deception. Remember, the first is the desire. The second step is the deception. Temptation never appears as temptation. It always seems more alluring, always seems to be more beautiful and enticing than it really is. It never really appears for what it is. And I want for us, as we look at these three verses, to understand that James uses two illustrations from the world of sports as he understood it in his day. Two illustrations James used, and the third we will look as we come to the closing of the lesson. But the first two is that James uses the word or the phrase drawn away. Do you see that in your Bible? He says, the other phrase that he used is the word entice. When every man is drawn away by his what? His own lust and what? Enticed. Drawn away and enticed are two phrases that James used from the illustration, you know, of sports in his day. The word drawn away suggests that there is something inside of us that has made a connection with something that is outside of us. And the union between that which is inside of us with that which is outside of us, the union of these two things produces a pull on us. That's how Satan actually gets us to do things that are contrary to the will of God. James says that every man is what? Drawn away. Satan, in order to get us to do things that are wrong, must pull us away. He pulls us away from our position of safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. He pulls us away from protection. He pulls us away from safety, because as long as we are in Christ Jesus, as long as we walk in the Spirit, as long as we are guided by the Spirit of God, as long as we decide within our own minds that we will do what God says, Satan cannot touch us. That's a fact of life. The temptation of Jesus, he tries to pull Jesus away 3 times, but each time Jesus says, "It is written." And so James says, if you understand the process, is that every man is what? Drawn away. It carries the idea, the word drawn away, of baiting a trap. Drawn away is what the hunter does when he goes hunting. The hunter places a trap. Are you with me this morning? The trap is covered up. The trap is decoiled. The trap is camouflage. The trap is hidden. And here comes an unsuspecting animal going about his own business. He picks up the scent of the bait. Are you with me so far? In other words, because the hunter places something that the animal loves. And the connection within the animal with that which is outside of the animal produces a pull on the animal. And so the animal changes his direction towards the scent that he's picking up. He's drawn away. And he moves in the scent in the direction of the scent, and he sees where the scent is coming from, the source of the scent, and he sees the meat that he loved so much. But what he does not see is the trap, for the trap is covered up. The trap is decoiled. The trap is camouflaged. The trap is hidden. And what he does, he pushes his head inside the trap, and he usually gets that for which he goes for. He gets the meat, but what he didn't bargain for was the trap. That's how Satan works in our lives. He pulls us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said, that animal, as he goes, he gets what he went for, but he usually end up getting more than what he bargained for. He got trapped. He didn't bargain for that because he didn't see it. Satan does the same thing with us as we live our lives. The same thing with the second illustration, the word entice. The word entice is what the fisherman does, similar to what the hunter does. The fisherman takes the hook, he baits the hook with something that is enticing to the fish. That which is inside of the fish, it connects with something that is outside of him. He goes for it, and usually when he bites, he usually gets what he went for, but he gets hooked. He gets hooked. That is what happened to us. And so the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11 that we need to be aware of the devices of Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible tells us, I'm in 1 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible tells us, ye also, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible tells us, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of what? Of his devices. His device is to draw us away. His device is to camouflage that which he puts before us. His device is to hide the trap, is to hide the hook. And if we are going to escape, then we need to look for the hook. We need to look for the trap because it is always there. And that's what James wants us to understand when he says that every man is what? Drawn away by his own lust. First, the problem is within us. Secondly, we see something that is outside of us, that is enticing, something that we want, something that we desire. We go for it, but here is the thing. If we don't go for it the way that God has prescribed, we are going to be trapped. Satan has no new approach. No new approach Satan has. His approach is always the same, but what Satan does is that Satan packages his things differently, making it more attractive. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, we see the three avenues of sin. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It is the bait that really excites us. This morning in our lesson, this Sunday school, we looked at Adam and Eve, how she was tricked, she was deceived. That is exactly what the Bible said. She actually was deceived. And we see what happened because of her action. So it is with our action. There is another example that we find in the Bible that is pertinent to this study is the problem that Abraham and Lot had. And we have read and we have heard about that story many times. Lot's herdman and Abraham's herdman, they had a problem. And the Bible said that Abraham gave Lot the choice. If you read in Genesis chapter 13 from verse number 10 all the way to chapter 21, you will see Abraham gave Lot the choice. And the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked and he chose the better part. But he chose in his choice. The Bible says that he looked towards Sodom. And the Bible says that all the people of Sodom, they were wicked people. And if you look further in those chapters in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us that not only did he choose, but he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then he was in the gate of Sodom. And all of Lot's life while he was in Sodom, the Bible tells us something that I want to read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. The Bible tells us something about Peter. Peter tells us something about Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, and delivering just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul day by day with their unlawful deeds. Do you see that? That all the time, all the years that Lot spent in Sodom, he fixed his righteous soul. But if you go back, when he made his choice, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, just let us look at it, and we're going to see in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, Genesis chapter 13, and you're going to see how he was baited by Satan, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Do you see that? How beautiful that must have been, but that's the bait. That's the trap. The trap is camouflage. And so Lot thought that he made the best decision, but having made that decision, he spent the rest of his life vexing his righteous soul every single day. He lost everything that he had. He lost even his family. Lot saw the bait. Lot took the bait, but ended up almost destroying his own life. That's the way Satan works. And so we got to look for the hook. We got to look for the trap, because everything that glitters is not gold. Satan will show you what you want. 2 Samuel chapter 11, you know, I'm just trying to cut and paste a number of things here. To, you know, 2 Samuel chapter 11, you remember David and Bathsheba. David went up on his rooftop, saw Bathsheba bathing, and he decided he wanted her. Well, desires was fulfilled, isn't that right? But that child became a thorn in the flesh. It was a beautiful thing to have seen what he saw, but in the end, it did not work out the way he wanted it to work. We looked looked this morning at the disciples, how he saw Jesus using the alabaster of oil and the woman wiping his feet with her hair with it. And he says, how could that be? Sell it and give it to the poor. And the Bible tells us that this he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and bore the bag. And then in John chapter 13, we saw that Satan was the one who put the thought in his heart. The problem that we face is with our desires. The second step is that we are drawn away by our own desires. If we decide with our own self that I'm going to watch what I want, what I desire, if I'm going to be careful and be always conscious as to not only what I want and what I desire, but I'm going to be conscious and be careful about how I go about satisfying that desire, we can defeat Satan. Not that we're going to live sinless lives, because sometimes he's going to get us. But 9 out of 10 times, we can defeat him, because we know the process. He first draws us away. Many times we're having problems in our own lives, and we decide not to fellowship with the brethren. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Because of problems, I just can't work. Satan is pulling you. He can't touch you while you're worshiping the Lord. And so he creates things in your life, and in your mind you think that that's the best thing. And so you separate yourself from the brethren. And when you separate yourself from the brethren, you become vulnerable, because you're all out there by yourself. The Bible describes him as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And if you understand how a lion works, a lion will be prowling, and he will see the gazelle or whatever it may be, but he will lie there in the bushes and he'll watching them, and he will always go for that one that separates himself from the herd. And that's what Satan wants. And so the more you separate yourself from the body, from worshiping God, is the weaker you will ultimately become, because you are out there all by yourself. Sometimes I hear people say, as I try to illustrate this, that, you know, there is nobody in the church that I can talk to. You are being pulled away by your own lust. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I have no friends in the church. All my friends are non-members. Well, nothing is necessarily wrong with that if you have friends out there in the world. But if you have no friend in the church in whom you can confide, then something is wrong with that. You are being pulled away. I showed you this morning that many times we need funds to take care of our responsibilities, and many times we need all kinds of things. Satan is going to show you a way to obtain that. And usually you're being pulled. Once you take it, because the overtime, if the overtime involves you missing service, then that's not a good thing. You're being pulled away by your own desire. The Lord has said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. Don't do it. If we walk according to the direction of the Lord, we will overcome and be victorious all the time. But the problem is when we step outside of the will and the word of God. Satan has to first do that in order to get us. Many times in my life, I remember years ago when I was attending the universities. The University of the West Indies in Jamaica. I had assignments that I got to do. I had term papers that I had to turn in. I had research that I had to do. But no time did I ever use the excuse that I cannot come to service because of my studies. Amen. I studied and I continued doing what the will of the Lord said. I was preaching in the church and I was visiting. I was doing evangelism. And never at no time did I ever use the excuse that I cannot be in service because I have a paper to turn in Monday morning. Satan is pulling us many times in many ways. And if we just watch it, no matter what is it that we desire, we just decide that we are going to do it according to the will and the word of God. We will never be in the mess that we find ourselves in many times. So he tells us we're drawn away by our own lust. And think in terms of drawn away and entice. Drawn away is what the hunter does. Entice is what the fisherman does. Look for the hook. Many times in relationships, we find that young people, more so than older people, get themselves messed up because they're drawn away. And they think that, listen to me, I can do this, I can do that without ever going so far. Have we ever heard young people talk like that? And yet they find themselves messed up so many times because they have been pulled away. I remember many years ago, I almost drowned. That's right, I almost drowned many years ago. I went to the beach with my family and I was in the water splashing. I can't swim even up to this very day, I still can't. But I was in the water and I was bouncing and playing and everything and not realizing how current actually works. And I was being pulled away by the current slowly but surely. And each time I go up and I come down, I did not come down the same place that I first started, but I thought I was there. And then there was a time when I went up and went down and there was nothing under my feet. If it wasn't for my father, I would not be here today. But that's the way Satan works. He works like the current. He pulls us slowly. He pulls us in an imperceptible way. He pulls us and we don't even realizing that we are being pulled. We think that we are still in control. We think that we would never go so far, only to realize it when it is too late, that I'm all by myself. And so James says, every man is tempted when he is what? Drawn away. And he's drawn away by his own lust. Watch your desire. And then he says, it is and enticed. Isn't that right? Enticed. So there is the deception. There is the desire. There is the disobedience. Notice the picture is changed from fishing and hunting to that of giving birth. The enticement. The desire conceived a method of taking the bait. Because we always rationalize within our own minds what we're going to do, how far we're going to go, how long we're going to do this. I know I ought to be in service, but this is just for 3 weeks. It is never just for 3 weeks, because once you step out of bounds, you become the target. Once it is conceived, it conceived a method of taking the bait. The will approves, and as a result, we act. And James says, if you will look at the verse in James chapter 1 as we try to bring this lesson to a close. Then when lust has what? Conceived. That's like a woman getting pregnant. When lust has what? Conceived. It what? It brings forth sin. Once we decide to act on what God has forbidden, we are stepping out of the will of God. At that moment, at that time, sin has committed in our lives. Then when lust as what? Conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is in our lives, unless we get rid of it, our relationship with God is disrupted. And Satan knows that. You don't have to sin 10 times before your relationship with God is disrupted. You just need to sin one time and stay in it. Do nothing about it. And Satan has you. You need to understand when he says that when sin has, it bringeth forth death. You see, there is spiritual death and there is physical death. You may not die same time, but spiritually, your relationship with God has been disrupted. And the longer you stay where you are in your disobedience to God, it is the longer or harder it is going to be for your return. It's going to be very difficult. That's why when we mess up, when we sin against God, we need to stop it right there and return to the Lord, to ask for forgiveness and decide to do what God this wants us to do. So James tells us in three simple steps the process. There is the desire. And once you follow the desire, there is a deception, because Satan deceives you. Satan beguiles. Then the third step is the disobedience. And the fourth step, very simply, is death. Spiritual death. It can be physical death. Ultimately, you will die in your state. And if you die in that state of disobedience, then God's face you will never see. It can be spiritual death, where you're separated from God for all time and eternity. You will remember that in Genesis chapter 3, God says, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. They ate of it, but they did not die immediately. That is what spiritual death is all about. It is your separation from God. And many people can be coming to church, living a life of sin, and still thinking that they're in a relationship with God, because they have been drawn away, they have been enticed. They have been engulfed by Satan. If we keep this passage in our minds, we can defeat Satan. Remember that you are drawn away. Isn't that right? First, it is your own desires. Secondly, if you understand what drawn away is, there is something inside of you that makes a connection with something outside of you. You see something that you want, you desire, and the union between the two produces a pull on you. And if you understand the fisherman and the hunter, what they do, the animal or the fish didn't never see the hook or the trap. They go for it, but they usually get more than what they bargain for. They either get hooked or they get trapped. If you understand that deception, you will always, in every single thing, be looking for the snare of Satan. Every move that you make, you ought to be looking for the snare of Satan. That's why Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, as Christians, we must walk circumspectly. That's what the Bible says. The word circumspectly is a word that is used within the army that describes a soldier who goes into enemy territory, and as he enters into enemy territory, he does not know where the enemies are, but he walks slowly, looking, expecting them to pounce at any time. That's the way we live our Christian life. As we live in this world, we are expecting Satan's trap, his device, his cunningness at any time. And therefore, whatever it is that we're going to do, we're going to find out, what is it that the Lord wants me to do? How is it that the Lord wants me to achieve this? So many people have achieved things in their life that is contrary to the will and the word of God. Satan has drawn you away. I have had friends who say, I want to come to Canada and I can pay for a visa. You're being drawn away. Isn't that right? I have seen people who want to get a mortgage and they go to someone who can give them a letter and they can get their T4 so that they can be qualified for that mortgage. You're being drawn away. And there's so many things in our lives that we just watch and decide within ourselves that I'm going to do what God says, like God says, we can be victorious. Amen. I trust this morning that there is someone who will make up their mind that from this moment onward, I'm going to do what God says, like God says. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be like Jesus. Each time I'm tempted, I'm going to say, it is written. We're going to stand and we're going to say it.